This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm attorney Travis Gagne. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. Memorial Day weekend is here, pretty much, for some of you lucky sons of bees. And
shout out to all the Rockaholics right now in line over at Snoqualmie Casino to get the free gas.
Yeah. Well, that makes what a way. You know, I didn't realize the timing of that. Snoqualmie Casino, they're geniuses, because here it is, like, you know, National Road Trip Day, and they're offering free gas. That's fantastic.
Oh, it's been covered. Dude, it's on Como 4 News. I just saw them covering it. Our buddy Photog Jim from King 5 is there as well. It's a big day.
His last day.
That's true. And yeah. What is he doing? He's stuck with The Rock.
Hanging with The Rock. That's pretty awesome.
It's a fun video of Mike Hawk out there. He's cleaning people's windshields while they're getting their kids.
That's so awesome. They put him to work. Mike.
That's great.
Make sure you tip Mike.
Yeah. I love that. That's it. You know what, Mike? Good for you, buddy. Because everybody appreciates getting that windshield cleaned.
Damn straight. Doing the Lord's work.
Oh, look at him. Mike, you know what? Mike looks good. He's doing a good job out there. Nice work.
What's up.
Oh, and he's wiping it with the towel like a professional. See, he knows what he's doing.
Oh, I do the whip.
That's
awesome.
I'm not sure that's the way to go, you know, but you know what? Whatever.
Hey, we each have our own styles.
I was a professional squeegee guy, so I'm just telling you.
Don't worry.
Yeah, there you go.
Does that mean something that I'm not aware of?
Yeah, it's Urban Dictionary. Look it
up.
Okay,
great.
Yeah. So today being National Road Trip Day, a lot of folks, of course, contemplating making big trips on Memorial Day weekend, though it's a lot tougher with gas prices and other reasons. People might be like, I don't know if I want to do this. But if you are going to go out there and make the road trip, well, Time Out Magazine has put together a list of the best road trip songs. And we've talked about this before, and it seems like this list always changes whenever we talk about it. All right. So the number one, I've got the number one road trip song. Let's see if you all agree with this. This is my number one.
No, but this is the boss at his best.
It's, I
don't even know the song.
I mean, this is
great theme.
Get out of here.
Yeah, he's no, this is.
The Atari's in covered or some band?
They didn't.
They should.
And this is before everybody really, I mean, look, I know a lot of people knew about Springsteen, but he got really huge in the 80s, like with Courtney Cox dancing on his videos. And this was before that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, Born to Run came out before Born in the USA. You had to run before you came to the United States, of course.
Yeah, so that's exactly, that's what you got to do.
But that was his best. Dude, I'm not a big Bruce Springsteen person, so I'm sure there'll be someone else, maybe I'm positive they'll disagree with me, but I feel like the Born to Run record, that's Bruce at his best.
Yeah, and I can't disagree with you, though I don't think so.
I get what you mean.
Yeah, the reason I don't disagree, the reason I can't disagree with you is that I know anybody who knows anything about music, they're absolutely right, and I'm an idiot. But I'm an idiot, so that's why I don't think so.
I mean, Born to Run, Thunder Road.
Yeah, I mean, they're all his greatest. You're right. All right, here's the... Again, I am really shocked because we've talked about lists like this before, and I don't think any of these songs have shown up in previous, like, great songs for road trips, but... Here's another. This is the number two song they believe at timeout that will be a great road trip tune.
Because it's about a song about a car?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I won't hate this if it's on the radio, but or if it's in a playlist, but I...
I'd rather hear, like, party like it's 1990, because you're partying. You're ready to go for a fun road trip.
Again, no idea what that song was either.
Prince?
No.
You don't know that
dude,
song.
Get educated.
Whoa, I don't know that song.
Wow.
You need a weekend off to listen to some old stuff.
Born to Run. Man. Wow, Born to Run, I get. But wow, even that, we're old. I mean, it was the 80s, so I guess that's why.
Did you know that one, Vicky?
No.
Like, if you would have just heard it, thank you.
Like, I know who Prince is, and I know that he did the song.
It's a song about sex, Vicky. How do you not know about this?
Well, I know a lot about sex. Doesn't mean I know everything about sex.
Okay, yeah, but you should know that song. I'm saying put in your repertoire.
Of those two, which would you rather listen to, though?
Oh. So probably far. Bruce.
Okay, so I want to keep a running tally of the ones you're not familiar with, just to see which one you actually do dig.
All right,
I'm still
can't
blown
life
away.
Life is a highway.
Okay, Steve, you look like you look like you're aggressively doing something yourself.
Yeah, guitaring.
And guitaring. Else.
Yeah, no, it looks like I feel like I'm watching the league and it's Vinegar Strokes. I just don't need this.
Yeah, right.
I really, really don't need that.
Life
all right. Okay, so we're all like number one and number two. We're not really in agreement with as far as like great road trip songs.
Watch your whore mouth. I like number one.
Oh, not me. I don't think that should be like the number one road trip song at all.
Don't lump me into your, we all agree.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize you thought that should be number one. You think that Born to Run should be the number one road trip song?
I don't know what would be number one, but I'm okay with that one being number one.
Oh,
no. Life is a highway.
Okay, don't do that anymore because you really are.
Yeah, that's number one.
All right, here's what they think number three should be.
Here I go again.
All right, let's rock.
There we go.
See? These, this should be the top one so far.
Well, is this a good road trip song, or is this a good song to have a hot chick dance on your car?
Yes.
Song.
Why not both? Yeah, let's have it both.
Stop at a gas station, and she jumps on the hood.
Spray her with not gas.
Yeah, no gas bites.
I feel like it's the titles and the song content. Born to Run, like, I'm on the road, I'm running. Little Red Corvette's a car song. Here I go again. Is that what makes these the top with these people?
I think they're loosely based about some kind of driving reference. Because I did look on the list and on the top 50, and Life is a Highway. That's number 32.
Mm. Oh, okay.
So at least it made the top. That should be a top five.
Higher than 32, yeah.
I agree. But you're ruining it for me because I just know it from the Cars movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, who did that? That country art band.
Oh, is that Florida Georgia Line?
No.
Brooks and Dunn?
The name.
Yeah, the Oak Ridge Boys, Alabama.
Rascal Flatts.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah, their version's trash.
I didn't know that was not their version, to be honest with you.
It's not?
No. Tom Cochran.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm not surprised. If they don't know Prince and they don't know Bruce, they're not going to know Tom Cochran.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, dude, he had nothing else on that record. I bought it thinking every song's going to be a banger like that one.
Nope. All right, here's number four. And now, you know, I mean, I can't fault them only because it's all about cars and roads and things, even though this is a good song, but I don't know if this is no way by number four best road trip song.
I'm okay with this one. I feel like I'm driving on the freeway and it's just like trees and like you're just kind of looking out there and you're like, I am feeling this.
Yeah, I wouldn't complain if it came on. I just don't know if I'd put it at number four.
I like the song. Like, I like the song a lot, but I just, I don't feel that it should be like a top 10 type song there. For this
one?
Who was that?
You don't even know who that was?
You too, man.
Oh, my God. Sorry.
Wow.
I didn't know that one. You knew that one, Vicky?
Yes.
Step out of your comfort zone, Danny.
Wow. Look, Danny, I'm not going to fault you.
I've never been a U2 fan, though.
Clearly.
Yeah, I was pretty... Like, I listened to them, and I was like, I can't do this.
I'm going to say this right now, Steve.
I'm not going to twist your arm to listen to U2. There's only a handful of U2 songs I like, and that's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Joshua Tree.
You probably like a lot more U2 songs than you think. If we threw all the songs that are like your big songs, you'd be like, oh, I guess I do like that. Oh, I guess I do like that.
I could probably make like a U2 Essentials playlist of about 10 songs. After that, it would be a struggle.
Which is pretty good for a band that you're not
in love
with.
That's been around for like 40 years and has like a billion songs.
Well, see, you and I judge things differently because you're the guy that goes, look, you've got to listen to 10. 10's amazing because every... Still. And I'm a guy going, there's no album where every song on the album's amazing. And you're like, oh, no, that's... I've always been that guy. And that maybe if I like half the album, because I'm a hits guy. So to have 10 songs...
Roses. Their whole record, Pearl Jam's 10.
Yeah,
whole
see,
record.
You and I don't agree on
Alice in Chains.
I don't,
Dirt.
I haven't heard like 10, so I can't tell you. But
hell, you can ever hear the record that has Santa Monica on it. Yeah. Heart Spark Dollar.
Oh, really? You like everything? See, now I'm an
Sparkle
Everclear.
Fade. Sparkle Fade.
Yeah, Sparkle Fade. Oh, wow.
Great.
I'm an Everclear guy, but then I'm like the Essentials like Everclear guy.
You like that stupid Volvo riding soccer mom song.
I like all their stupid songs.
I know there's going to be a ton this weekend.
Yes, they are. Volvo riding soccer mom is awesome.
I only call it stupid because I know it gets under your skin. I like the song, too.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, I was going to say, come on. Plus, Arch's been on the show, and we semi-bonded over our rotten kids.
No, I love Art, and I love Everclear, but I just wanted to get under your skin.
Yeah, you did.
When I wake up.
Thanks, How I Met Your Mother.
And I will walk.
The Proclaimers.
Yeah, the Proclaimers. Yes.
That's a good song.
Yes. Oh, here it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is a really good song. When I
wake up, the best.
This is a great driving song.
No, it's not. It's about walking.
Yeah, but remember from How I Met Your Mother.
How I Met Your Mother, that's all they can listen to on road trips.
It's a road trip song. It's a good road trip song. I mean, you're still traveling, you know, to go somewhere cool. To be the man you want to be, right?
This is funny. I've never seen How I Met Your Mother. I know it from Benny and June. Movie that was filmed in
Korea.
You watched Benny and June?
Oh, I love Benny and June.
Wow. Okay. Props to you, Ricky. That's a good flip.
500 miles and I will walk 500 more just to be the man who walked 1,000 miles to end up at your door.
It's not that part yet.
It's not that yet, but
premature da-da-das.
Yeah, that's okay. We do what we want here. It's our road trip. We do what we want.
And to be fair, anytime I have sang the song, I have been obliterated.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hopefully you're not the one driving then.
No, I remember singing this when we did BJ's bachelor party that he never went to.
We did the party bus
on the way down.
Yeah.
We sang this like a bunch of drunken idiots.
Yeah.
Oh, good job.
And that came in at number 22 in the top 50.
Okay, good. I'm glad it was on the list.
Yeah. This number 5 song, which is the last one we have audio for, unless we go find some other ones. This number 5 song actually can be like, I think it should be number 1 out of the Ollie's 5. And it is definitely the party song, the everything song. There's never a time, I think, where, maybe a funeral. Even a funeral, I probably wouldn't mind hearing this. But I think this number 5 song deserves to be number 1 out of these 5.
You would like to hear the same.
Love Shack. Oh, yeah. Plus, he's got a car. So big as his whip.
Hurry up and bring your jukebox money.
I love these guys.
Yeah, this should be number 1.
I'm okay with that being number 1.
That gets the mood going.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a Chrysler that's as big as a whale.
Yeah.
B-52s were awesome, man. I mean, they had a retro 50s look, but they were super punk with some of the stuff, you know, and punk pop, like just amazing. They were something. They weren't punk pop. They weren't like emo sort of angry punk pop, but they were retro 50s sort of like alien sci-fi punk pop.
To be honest, all I know is Love Shack and then Rock Lobster.
Well,
that's
you're
all
on
I know
Private
about
Idaho.
Them.
What about Private
Idaho?
Oh,
okay. I know three songs.
You're on Private Idaho. And don't forget, She Came From Planet Claire.
I don't know that one.
Oh, you don't know that one? That's a good one. Yeah.
No. Three and three and out.
Yeah. That's it. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, well, that was my life. I mean, I love that sound. You know, I was in my 20s and I love the look of the B-52s because they were, you know, they were different than what Billy Idol was looking like in the whole Gen X gang. Because they were retroing up and they looked like the Mars Attack, you know, all the beehive hairdo. I just love the way they look, man.
What about that one, Tracy Chapman's like, you got a fast car, That's a good song, but it's depressing.
It is.
Yeah, you're
right.
But
it sings about a car.
Yeah, and they're driving real fast and things and stuff.
The song's not fast, but they are driving.
So. Well, at that point, you want a depressing song, get Drive by the Cars. You know, who's going to drive you home because your life's a mess?
Ooh, or Drive by R.E.M. That one's a good one. Hey.
Oh, I don't know if I know that one.
Oh, that's a good stuff. I can't even sing it.
That's good stuff. Okay. So... this list is just about anything that has to do with roads, cars, trips, for being the best road trip music. But, I mean, there's better songs for a road trip, if you ask me.
Oh, someone had a good one, Radar Love.
That's a good one. Yeah.
That did make, I think, the top 10, if I remember correctly. Or it's in the list, that's for sure. There was, what was that band that covered it? I think it was like Great White.
Ooh.
Metal band.
Ooh.
Metal band, but I think it was Great Light or Great Lion or... White Lion or some kind of...
Somebody's lying.
It was on Headbangers Ball. I never knew it was an actual other band that did it until I found out that it was a cover, and I was slightly disappointed because I'm like, oh, they didn't write that badass song?
Yeah. We got a... How about this guy? This man got a call from space, but he let it go to voicemail. Wow. I'll tell you all about this at 8:17 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. A guy on Reddit shared a great story about how recently he got a call from space, but sent it to voicemail.
Well, does it show up on caller ID? Like Mars.
Yeah, that
like,
would be awesome.
What's the zip area code for, like, Saturn?
He said there was a caller ID that said U.S. Gov, and that's where he was like, whoa, he showed it to, he was with some friends at the time.
I wouldn't answer either. If the government's calling me, I don't have anything. I don't want to talk to them.
No way.
Yeah, and he showed everybody, and they're like, don't answer that, U.S. Gov, don't bother.
Like, true friends would. Nothing good's coming of this phone call.
Turns out, you know, his buddy is currently assigned on the International Space Station on his second mission. And so that's who was calling, you know.
If a buddy that's a part of, like, the U.S. government, then maybe I would answer.
I don't know, though, dude. Would I think that, though? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, if I had a friend up at the space station, would I just assume that when it says U.S. Gov, that it was him? I might forget myself.
Well, what cell providers do you use? Do they have a good plan where you can call from space? Does Verizon cover that? I'm not sure.
Feel like if it's U.S. Gov, I imagine you and I are covering it, Steve. We're the ones paying for that.
That's true.
So he did. Basically, he sent it to voicemail and didn't get to actually talk to someone from space, which is pretty epic.
I wonder what, like, the would you be able to hear them very well? Is there, like, a weird Skype delay to it?
Ooh,
probably.
I feel, well, yeah. Yeah, that's a good question.
Bro, why are you calling me? Just text me from space.
Yeah, but, you know, his friends pointed out, dude, you've got a voicemail, though, and it's a voicemail from space. That's never been done. Well, you know, for you anyway, or for a lot of people.
Yeah, and you get to save that for all time.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool.
Until your voicemail thing is full, and then you just frantically delete everything and forgot that you deleted the phone call from space.
Oh, no. Well, somebody by the name of Steve told me how to save my voicemails to audio files.
That's true. Yeah. So you can share them, and you can email yourself your voicemails.
Should never happen. Nice. It's pretty cool. So earlier we were talking about Whitesnake because it was one of the top five road trip songs voted by somebody.
What a great day. We have two stories about Whitesnake?
Yeah.
Who'd have thunk it?
I don't know why, but hey, you know what? If you're a Whitesnake fan, you're happy. How about David Coverdale recently shared that he originally wrote their hit song, Is This Love, for Tina Turner?
Huh.
That's, wow.
I always love those kind of stories when, like, you know, the old Prince story of him writing Nothing Compares to You for Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah.
And then, you're like, when you get to hear the original way it was done, you're like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So Whitesnake, David Coverdale, not just Whitesnake. I mean, the guy from Whitesnake, he wrote the song for Tina Turner, though.
Yeah, and when the band's label heard it, they I don't know if she actually did it because they refused to let the song go. So when he wrote it for Tina Turner, but when the band's label heard it, they were like, dude, no, this should be ours.
Yeah, because I don't think I've ever heard of an instance where that song was ever recorded by Tina Turner. So, that makes sense. Like, he recorded it, gave it to the label, like, here, give this to Tina. And they're like, nope, this is staying with you, David.
How about that, man? So, I mean, I didn't know David Coverdale wrote songs for other people. Like, I can't imagine that was the first time he ever did.
You know who else used to write a lot of songs for people was Bryan Adams. Yeah. Like, I think he even wrote like a couple Kiss songs.
Really?
Oh, really? Yeah. It was weird. Like, I was listening to a Kiss song, you know, and like on Apple Music, you click on like the lyrics part, and then at the end they'll say who wrote the song. And then I'm looking down there and I'm like, Bryan Adams? And of course you got to Google it to find out if it's the Bryan Adams, and it was.
Yeah, it is trippy when you see some of the songwriters.
Yeah, he wrote War Machine, which is like a really aggressive, heavy song for Kiss.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Good for Brian.
It's crazy a lot of times when there's like people from bands that you don't expect and you find out they're part of like songwriting camps and that's all they do. Like that's what they do to make their bread and butter. The band is kind of just for fun.
Yeah, what's that band like? Do you think they're called like the Bleachers or I can't remember. The guitarist, like he helped write a lot of like helped co-write some of the Taylor Swift songs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, I don't remember the name of the band, but yes.
And the band was popular, not huge, but popular. Like, they had a hit. But, like, I think where he's probably living a pretty good life right now and has a nicer home than his bandmates, probably because he was also helping Taylor Swift out.
Or there's some, like, bands where you're like, how do they sustain? Like, how are they still around? Because they didn't really do much. Like, the Red Jumpsuit Apparatus, like the emo band, their lead singer, that's what he does. And he just hires a bunch of hands to go on tour with him when he wants to tour. But that's how he makes his money, is writing songs for all these pop stars.
Yeah, it's the guy. So is he the band The Bleachers? Yeah, Jack Antonoff. He helped co-write.
Oh, I heard of that name.
Yeah, he co-wrote a bunch of songs off of 1989 in Folklore with and helped produce
them. Yeah.
He's done stuff with Florence and the Machine, Lana Del Rey, Carly Rae Jepsen, Tegan and Sarah.
Carly Rae Jepsen? Right? Call Me Maybe, girl?
Yeah.
I wonder if he did Call Me Maybe. I mean, that's the only one she said that I know of her for, right?
Yeah, really. It's only
So if he did that, good for him.
I bet he's making so much money. Nothing to do with his actual band. Wow, that's kind of fun, though.
Mm-hmm. David Coverdale. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe we'll do some research and see if David Coverdale wrote anything else for anybody. But he wanted to do this song here. Originally, he was going to give this to Tina Turner, and the label said, no, don't do that.
Well, I can hear her do this.
Oh, this has ruined the song for me.
Yeah.
Dude, I can totally hear Tina Turner singing on this. It was totally meant to write it. He probably wrote it in the how he thought Tina Turner would sing it.
Yeah.
Dude, this is just messing with my head also because as a young Steve watching Headbangers Ball and Whitesnake was one of those bands and I loved Whitesnake and I thought that song was badass for like, I was like, oh, that's their, you know, the obligatory ballad. It's usually like the third single a band puts out. It's the ballad. And I thought though the song was like still like a hard rock song. Now listening back to it,
it's
a pop Tina Turner song.
It really is.
Damn it, Whitesnake, you had me fooled.
So it's whenever I watch documentaries or behind the music kind of stuff about bands, the one thing that does come up is the payment of each band member because, I mean, the writer, you know, the people that write the songs really say, we work harder. I mean, yeah, we're playing instruments too, we're performing whatever, but we're also writing the song, so shouldn't we get paid more than, let's just say, the drummer doesn't do any writing, the drummer just drums.
Yeah, but the drummer wrote his drum parts, which maybe if you brought a different drummer in, that those drum parts wouldn't have made the song as great.
Ooh, okay, so
It's a hard argument, man. I always like the bands that are just like, look, we're four of us, we're going 25% each. But I get the singer-songwriter guy, probably in his head, either other people or himself thinking, I spent like 30 hours working on this song before I even brought it to the rest of the band, and you guys came up with your parts right away. You're very creative in your parts, but had I not written this song, these parts would have never existed. Therefore, I should get more money. I understand both sides of the argument.
Yeah, that was always something I'd always see come up. You know, that it would always come up with bands, and what really did split them apart and cause a lot of grief was that very issue. And Steve, I mean, I don't know what comes first. Does the music come first, then the lyrics? I think with Pearl Jam, I feel like that's kind of what they do. And that I think I heard this last album. They said they basically come up with their music and then they send it to Eddie, and then Eddie comes up with lyrics. Is that?
It just depends. There's no set process.
Nope.
Because there's some songs, like, you look at the early Pearl Jam songs, the ones you won't listen to because you refuse to listen to 10, you jerk. But a lot of those songs were written way before Pearl Jam was even a band. And then when they became the band, then bring in Eddie, okay, work some, let's change it up and put the lyrics to it. But then there's some songs that, like, probably Ed, if we're using Pearl Jam as the example, he came in with the entire song and then said, create your parts to this song that I wrote.
Wow.
So, like, Tool, historically, typically, they write the entire record and then send it to Maynard, and then he puts his parts in.
Wow, that's the process is really fascinating because it seems just very unique for each band.
Yeah, and even like one of my favorite bands is Faith No More. Their biggest album, the album that has the epic song, that album was written before Mike Patton was in the band, and because they had a different singer, they booted him. So originally that album was written with a different singer was going to do his parts over it. So like, dude, the record's recorded. You have to come in and make lyrics and hooks and melodies to what's already recorded, and that's it. Like, we're not changing anything. Like, we can't afford to. So that album is one of my favorites, but it's like kind of funny to think. Like, he was really handcuffed to, he couldn't change things. He had to just go with what they had recorded. And then the next record, he took way more of a creative lead, and that album's also great, but like, it's a totally different vibe. And now you realize why, because, well, I mean, now he's actually putting his input into this band.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, every band does it differently. And even they do it differently within the same band. Like, sometimes lyrics are first, music second, or vice versa. So there's really no set way.
There's no set way, man.
It's art, baby.
That's what it is,
yeah,
brother.
Baby. Someone brought up a good point, though. The lady from Four Non Blondes. Was it Linda Perry? I think it's her name. You know, Four Non Blondes had that one hit, the What's Up song, and then nothing. But she's written so many hit songs for, like, a bunch of those pop stars, like Pink, and Christina Aguilera, somebody even texted in saying, like, she's made a career out of writing other people's songs.
That, wow. I didn't know either. Wow. Yeah. Isn't that bizarre, thinking that, man, she could have, you know, she could have been like a big, big star. Like, why didn't Four Non Blondes keep going, unless it just, maybe it just nobody cared?
No, I think that's a lot to do with it. Like, I think she's writing songs for people that are already established. So, like, she had massive talent, but I don't think anyone was willing to give her a chance, maybe because of how, like, her look or whatever it may be. But, like, she wrote songs for, like, Christina Aguilera, Cheap Trick even, Alicia Keys.
Wow.
Yeah. Ariana Grande, Miley Cyrus, like I mentioned also, like, Pink, Gwen Stefani.
Yeah, James Blunt, Enrique Iglesias. So many people. It's huge. It's a massive.
Look at her.
Yeah, dude, it's like, oh, you're a one-hit wonder. She's like, actually, I have about 30 hits. You just don't know it.
And she doesn't have to tour. Which, you know what? For some people, that's the life. You know, they get paid for those songs and don't have to tour and do the grueling. Yeah, that may be exactly what she wants. It could have been her choice all along.
Yeah, right.
Damn. Well, good for her.
Good for her.
I don't want to see her house because I probably will be really disappointed. And to say,
disappointed by what? Yeah. When have you ever written a song?
No. I mean, I would be disappointed that she's got a great life, you know, and I don't even know who she is. And she's got a great life, and I don't.
How dare she?
Well, I'm not disappointed. In other words, I'm disappointed that you know, I have such a rotten life. It's nothing against her.
So rotten.
Oh, such a rotten life, listen, living on Mercer Island.
Yeah, with your $47 million net worth.
Yeah.
Whatever it is,
bills paid.
What's my net worth?
All the board games.
I went down with my net worth. I also live with my daughter. Don't forget that.
And her future husband. I mean, that's, you're providing for three.
I don't think anybody will. Yeah, exactly. Nobody wants that.
Miserable life that you have.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's
you're at $7 million right now.
Yeah,
BJ.
Holding steady at the $7 million.
$7 million. Wow. I don't know. I'm not really good with my money.
Well, gas
really
prices. That's the problem.
Yeah. Did you fill up yesterday?
Forgot about that because I am gonna. You know, I'm going on a road trip, so maybe that's it.
Yeah. Right.
Yesterday, Steve, he did get this one right while he was busy celebrating that he got the prior question correct.
In football, what position did Football Hall of Famer Joe Montana play?
Just call me Jeffrey Geography.
What? All right, Jeffrey. Okay.
Joe Montana played football.
Yes.
And what did you do the question?
What position did he play?
Quarterback.
Yes.
Man, you are just, you know what? You're an all-star.
Thank you.
I have to say. Yeah. Put your game on. Go play.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
I knew you were going to go down that road.
You want a shot at beating Steve? You have it. 206-421-ROCK. We're playing Beat Migs at 847 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. Here's another question from a listener. How long is a bankruptcy going to affect my credit rating?
Of course, most of the time, by the time
we're talking about filing a bankruptcy, the credit has already taken a huge hit. Chapter 7 is going to affect it more negatively than Chapter 13. Chapter 7 stays on your credit report for 10 years from the time you file. It usually takes 7 or 8 years for your credit scores to get back into the normal range in a Chapter 7 case. However, your credit will start to recover even in Chapter 7 after about a year. You'll be able to get credit again right away, usually before your case is even over. Chapter 13 stays on your credit report for 7 years and usually takes about 3 or 3.5 years for your credit to get back in the normal range. So Chapter 13 will mean your credit gets better much more rapidly.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.